College football nerds, we are back, and I guess off-season content for us means May and then almost August, but we are here, and we're going to do some previews maybe in August, but we've got a little bit of stuff we want to talk about that might be a little different from what everybody else is doing right now, previews and such. We want to talk today about why it's ridiculous that people keep comparing Mark Richt to Kirby Smart, and we get some flack sometimes from Georgia fans on this channel because we hold you to a super high standard because we think Georgia is that level of a program right now, and this might give you a little better insight on what we think about your coach, which is we think he's really dang good. Josh, I saw this meme on Twitter going around comparing the two, and that they had a similar win-loss record. And there's two things I want to talk about mainly, and maybe we'll get into a third in this video. I'm going to let you go first. My thing that I want to talk about is the SEC wasn't nearly as good when Mark Richt took over, and then when Kirby Smart took over. There was no beast in the West in Alabama. There was no Joe Burrow LSU going on. But first, I think you've got something that's really interesting that takes a step back to look at the Dooley era and then a look forward. So why don't you get us into that? Because I think it's pretty interesting.
One of my big soapboxes, when you go back and look at college football historically, is the impact of the addition of the 12th regular season game, which was back in 2005. A lot of people talk about college football teams being good based off whether or not they have a 10-win season. And they talk about that as if it's a great benchmark for a great season. The truth of the matter is, for the past few years, we've had 25 or more teams frequently have 10 wins in a year. The reason for that is that 12th game. So in 2005, they added 12th football game. They did not expand upon the number of conference games, at least not in the SEC. So instead, you added a game against, you know, that's typically your Fresno State, your Miami of Ohio, sort of your tune-up game that isn't an FCS, and that's why our schedules all feel a little more bloated. It's because they are, compared to where they were about 15 years ago. Mark Richt really benefited from that historically at Georgia. One of the big things that was talked about a lot, and we talked about it on our blogs and stuff, I think that was back before our YouTube era, when Richt was fired, everyone said, well, he has more 10-win seasons than anyone in the history of Georgia football. But it's really not a fair barometer because coaches previously didn't play as many games. And it's easy to get to 10 wins if you've got three or four baked-in wins on your schedule. And again, when they added the 12th game, it was almost universally a game that teams almost would win, almost always would win. So I went back and I looked at where, you know, Vince Dooley was, Mark Richt was, Kirby Smart was, and I looked at it in terms of seasons with 0 to 2 losses. So my thought here is, okay, let's take the extra games out of play, and let's just look at how many games you lose in a given season. And if you look at, you know, seasons with 0 or with 2 or fewer losses, Dooley did that in 9 of 25 years. That was 36% or a little more than 1 out of 3 seasons with Dooley, he finished with 2 or fewer losses. With Richt, it was 4 out of 15, so about 27%. And with Kirby Smart, it's been 3 out of 5 years. 60% of his seasons have finished with 2 or fewer losses. So the point I'm making here is, you know, of the comparison between Dooley, Richt, Smart, Dooley had a much higher rate of seasons without many losses than Richt did, and Smart's rate of 60% is just bonkers compared to anyone else historically. I know it's early with him, and that may or may not fall off, but you just need to put it in comparison. Richt's 3 out of 5 years with 2 or fewer losses is more than double the rate that Richt was achieving over his 15 seasons at Georgia.
And I want to, like, now is when I'm going to talk about my thing, but I want you to use the thing that I'm going to talk about and put what you just said into even more context, because I think it really shows it's just bonkers what Kirby Smart has done. After that first, I think, 8-5 season, which really, like, wasn't that bad either when he, you know, he picked up from what was sort of a downward trend and then moved on from it pretty quickly. But my whole problem with all of this comparison is Mark Richt came into the SEC in 2001. And Yes, throughout various years, random years. For the first few years, you had like 03 LSU that was a good team. You had 04 Auburn that was a good team. Though I will say, Auburn fans, if you're watching, the best thing that ever happened to y'all was getting left out of that title game, because you got to play the what if game instead of the we know game that would have happened. Anyway, so Georgia didn't have the SEC West as it's been under Nick Saban to contend with, where if you think about like how it's not just how good Alabama has been. Every year that Alabama hasn't been like the national championship contender, it's been like 2010 where Auburn won the national championship, or 2013 where Auburn played for the national championship, or 2019 with LSU. So there's always been that, and there's just been that depth of quality. And the SEC East has been better under Kirby Smart as well. The SEC East, even under the first half of Saban's tenure at Alabama, the SEC East was an absolute joke. It's better now. It's still not elite, but it's better now. And so I think that if we're looking at, you kind of got this double whammy of goodness that happened for Mark Richt and his fortunes, in that he inherited a world that went into this 12-game season, but he also did that and had the nice round number of 10 wins in an era where he probably had a bunch of wins already baked in, and he could lose against the two really good teams he played and have a clean 10-2 record. So is that even further damning to the 10-win sort of discussion that we've already had?
So one of the big things that I looked at in terms of the history of these coaches was also how they did in their division. It's notable that for all the success Mark Richt had, Mark Richt took over at a period where Tennessee and Florida were on the decline. In 1998, Georgia under Jim Donnan went 9-3, 6-2 in conference. And those two losses in conference, though, were to two Eastern foes that were both in the top 10 in Tennessee and Florida. They were really at the height of their power. When Richt took over, it was simultaneous to a guy named Spurrier leaving for Washington. And that was the period where Tennessee was starting to fall off the face of a cliff. So, you know, in his first 10 years, Richt lost at least two conference games all but 1 year, and that was in 2002 when they made the Sugar Bowl. Other than that, he had a lot of 2-5 loss seasons in the regular season. And you know, Jim Donnan never lost more than five in the regular season. That's a lot. But his last 4 years, he was a 2-3 loss regular season guy. It's just that didn't get the job done because the East was so hard. So, you know, let's look at that historically, right? Well, how did Vince Dooley do? Well, first thing, divisions didn't exist prior to 1992 in the SEC, so you can't quite make the same comparison. But I can tell you that he won 6 out of 25 conference titles. That was a 24% clip of winning conference titles in Georgia in his period. And this, I think this is a crazy stat. 15 out of his 25 seasons, 15 out of 25, he finished in the top two in the conference. So, you know, of those, you know, 19 times that he didn't win the conference, about half the time he finished second. And so that, I think that's an incredible amount of consistency. And again, compare that to Richt. Richt won the division 5 out of 15 times. He only won the conference twice. So when you look at those numbers, it's about half of what Vince Dooley did as a percentage. And then again, where does Smart fall in this list? Well, I don't think there's really even a comparison. He's lost only one conference game for 3 straight years. He's won the division for 3 straight years from 2017 to 2019. And, you know, overall, 3 out of 5 seasons, 60% clip winning the division. One conference title out of 5 seasons isn't super fantastic, but that's still 25%. That's not, or 20%, my math is absolutely horrible, still pretty similar to the 24% that Vince Dooley had, and you're still doing probably a better clip than Mark Richt did, and it seems like it's going to trend that way. So just in terms of divisional wins, Smart has been more successful than Richt. Richt had good win-loss records, but mainly he won the division sort of by default. He didn't necessarily have fantastic divisional records. It's just more the fact that two losses would often win you the division in the SEC East in that period. And then, again, historically, Vince Dooley, probably a lot of people don't realize just how good he was. I mean, finishing top two in your division, 15 out of 25 seasons, you know, more than half the time. Not in the division, but rather the whole conference. That's a pretty darn impressive feat.
Yeah, and you can talk about Kirby Smart only winning once. The years he lost, you know, he's losing to Alabama, who, you know, went to play for a national championship. He lost to LSU, who was a historically good team. But he was winning the division. And you know, we talk a lot about the SEC West, and it has been in the past in the SEC East. Like, there's times where you lose one game and that's it. You know, and so that's another thing that's crazy. The last thing I want to talk about real quick, don't want to go too long on this, but one thing that you and I discussed before we started recording that I think is pretty interesting that we can probably add a little more context is recruiting. And some people would argue that recruiting is like, that's a crutch. Like it covers for bad coaching or not as good at coaching if you have all the Jimmys and Joes, but I don't know that that's the case. And you've got some numbers that can speak to this, but Kirby Smart has absolutely out-recruited Mark Richt. And if we put all these other things together, it's worth noting that if Kirby Smart had recruited on the level that Mark Richt did and tried to field a team in this era of the SEC, he would have been not going 10-2. It would have been far worse. So I think that's another thing that's worth talking about. Landing the Jimmys and Joes matters, and I think you got some numbers to back that up.
It's a bit hard when you try to trace it back to 2000, just because a lot of modern recruiting services didn't really start until end of the 2000s, but in general, Rick's classes finished usually between 6th and 12th, and they hovered usually around 8 or 9. He added the number 3 class in 2006, but you know, more often than not, like, you know, 01 to 03 was 9 to 10, 8th-ranked classes in 2005, 2007, 2014, just generally in that 6 to 12 range, and more often than not landing somewhere between 8th or 9th in the conference. Kirby Smart's been finishing top 3, like clockwork. And to your point, it's easy to say, well, he's Georgia and you should do well. Okay, that's fine. Well, why didn't Richt? It's the same school. I think it's very telling that Smart has done very well. Now, Smart has suffered due to a large number of players that haven't really stayed on his roster for a variety of reasons. You know, everybody knows the story of Justin Fields. There were a number of guys on that squad that weren't major contributors. But I'll say that he also deals with, like you said, a very different environment. I mean, it's a much more competitive SEC from a recruiting standpoint than it was in the early to mid-2000s. I think people either forget or really weren't around to know that the SEC wasn't a juggernaut until that Urban Meyer, Nick Saban sort of meld, where those two sort of elevated the conference to another level. And now Smart's misses or guys that don't pan out seem a lot more, you know, impactful. And also, I think guys are washing out of the program for other reasons. You didn't have high-profile quarterback transfers in Rick's era. I mean, Richt wouldn't have had that problem had he had Justin Fields. He'd stick around, and you end up with him at quarterback. But in my view, and we'll probably do another video, and I'm not sure which one of them is going to launch first, I think coaches have to be evaluated based off their ability to recruit. I think the coaching staff's ability to recruit talent is one of the most important aspects in college football, and it's not something that should excuse a coach. It's just another aspect of it. Now, you can debate whether or not Richt or Smart is a better on-field coach, and that has to be a little bit buttressed by talent, but that's the point, is, you know, the talent gap that Richt creates versus Smart weren't the same. And Smart generally plays with a talent gap over all his opponents, and he maybe gets a little more criticized because of it. But, you know, that's a thing of Smart's own creation. And Rick's inability to distance himself quite as much from the teams he was playing has to be factored in to how you evaluate those two coaches, I think. And you know, quite frankly, I think speaks a lot more highly of Richt in terms of his ability to manage his team on a daily basis with the talent he had, but it speaks a heck of a lot more highly about Smart in that he was able to build the roster he needed to be successful. So, I have nothing but respect for Mark Richt. He's an upstanding person. I want to be really clear on that because I'm sure if I don't say it, someone's going to get upset in the comments. He's done a tremendous amount for Georgia. I think he ran the program in an extremely upstanding manner. But if you talk about ability to win games, if you talk about results on the field, it's only been 5 years, but I don't think you can even fairly compare Smart to Richt. In most metrics, he was at another level. In, you know, wrapping it around full circle, I think there's a little bit of a false nostalgia with the Richt era, and I think it led to a little bit of complacency there, where Richt did come in at the right time, where having a 7th to 9th ranked class, especially the first 5 or 6 years of his tenure when he won his 2 conference titles, was enough to have a talent gap. And when that gap closed, you know, once you hit 2006 through 2009, when Florida and Alabama really amped it up, every season past that point became basically a 3-5 loss season. And I think it had absolutely everything to do with the stockpiling of talent in the SEC and just how much more difficult it became to win on the field if you didn't have the sort of talent needed to match it.
Yeah, and I want to echo that as we wrap this up. Like, I love the Mark Richt era at Georgia, and I think he did a lot to really kind of right the ship and keep them relevant enough that they never really dropped off the map. And that's hard to say, you know, that was hard to do in that time because it absolutely happened to Tennessee and they never recovered and they may never recover. And Mark Richt didn't allow that to happen. I think he was in his day an excellent coach and an excellent on the field coach. So I don't want people to take this video as a slight to Mark Richt. It's more of a celebration of what Kirby Smart has been able to do, even though the title has been elusive. The program itself has been incredible. And the coaching job he did last year, given all of the quarterback turnover that he had or turmoil that he had in the offseason and to start the season, was incredible. So, all right, y'all, in the comments, let us know what you think. Are we off base? Is the comparison fair? You know, the memes that are going around, do you have some criticisms that we didn't offer for Kirby Smart? Let us know in the comments. Get at us. We'll see you next time. Have a great week. God bless.